Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. SJ Costello, Hale McAnulty. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 66 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex Newell, and with me today I have
James Ross,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand McCuffingham.
Amin Salah Harun Al Tahan.
Sasha Rackett.
Change!
No!
All change is bad!
Rob's gone off to find himself.
Yeah.
He's going to be volunteering somewhere. Maybe he's building a school.
Yeah,
maybe
taking a gap year.
Going to be
going,
great.
Going trekking.
Yeah,
he's going to come back with some Tibetan prayer flags.
I'm just going to go down to Thailand and just experience.
There's a chunder.
I'm glad he's gone now.
There was that bubbling under the surface.
So yeah, Zolf has had to depart the party. It's all a bit tragic, really, but it turns out that
it's creative differences.
Something to say, and I quite like you saying that Bertie has to be in aiming out, not out aiming in. So with Zolf missing, we're now having to carry on lumbering on with three, and we'll try and make do. I'm sure someone
you'll find the average speed of the party has just gone up.
That hurts.
Correct. This is true. So. No doubt you'll be turning up soon enough, Ben, but in the meantime, we have Sasha, Hamid, and Bertie have just sort of reconvened-ish as Bertie
There was
continues.
A nasty scene in a restaurant which we quickly patched up and left.
Correct.
And how much money do we have left now? We've got to pay for a restaurant.
We now find you back on the streets of Prague, just far enough away from the incident so that it's not going to be causing you any further trouble.
You know, in some ways I have eaten enough today. Perhaps we don't need dinner, Sasha.
My God, you're ill. Hamid, are you all right? Hamid, I'm here. Hamid, follow my finger. Can you see my finger? Oh, God.
I can't.
This is a very cafe. I'd forgotten how nice this is.
Well done, Bertie. Do you have somewhere to stay, Bertie? We should probably head up to the university tomorrow morning, I think.
Ah, yes, excellent. I have accommodated myself in salubrious but modest lodgings.
Well, we might as well join you there. So Zolf has decided to leave.
Oh dear. So, tomorrow's plans.
Well,
shall we?
we still need to deal with...
There's a lot to deal with, but he was actually doing some important stuff.
Well, I suppose we could always acquire some healing potions, and if we need anything dampened, then...
So I think we should advertise for another member of our adventuring group.
Very well. What do we require?
Well, maybe someone who can heal. Not that any of us would like need healing on the regular. Like we're all quite tough, but somebody that could say do that. And
healing is definitely a useful skill to have. But as Bertie says, that we could get potions. But I think it's
universal
more important.
Universal access to healing sounds like socialism to me. I prefer an insurance based system.
So what if someone had like a pre existing need and a pay by use system
I just think someone who fits in with us is the most important thing.
Are you
to look
good cultural fit. So perhaps we could consult our alumni network, have it?
That's not exactly what I meant, no.
I could consult my alumni network.
Where did you matriculate? I didn't think you'd gone to university, Sasha.
I mean, I'd just shout into a shadow.
If you think that would find someone.
Polytechnic sounds like to me.
30. Anyway.
Down this direction, there might be someone.
There's some financial and contractual matters to take care of, obviously. We've got to sell all the things we've acquired and divide up the money according to the contract. And, well, I think maybe it'd be best if I took Zolf's role in the existing contract with the meritocrats, if you don't mind me, and then we'll have the same terms and conditions with the new group.
What was the proportion of income that Zolf had Was it different from the rest?
No, we were all have it. We all had 25%.
Bertie makes
and
a couple.
We'll continue
of,
that way.
Sorry, Bertie makes a couple of quick mental calculations about the possibility of. So if he assumes leadership of the party, as is his noblesse oblige, etc., then he won't be able to duck out at some future stage quite as easily. So he's going to be much more on board with this. But I feel the need to explain that out of character, because that's not a thing he would say.
Yes.
That is a thing that will happen.
It's good to know things.
I pointedly don't respond to Bertie muttering under his breath.
But nobody must know. This is my true motivation.
Sasha and Hamid share a glance.
Yes.
Might I propose a motion that we divide the loot so far thus acquired before we recruit a fourth member?
Oh,
of the
absolutely.
Party.
We have to currently, the contract says that any loot we've acquired up to now means a 25% share has to go to Zolf. So I've said that we'll put it into a bank account under his name.
Oh, I suppose that's very fair. Yes, fine, excellent. Of course, we must do right by Mr. Smith. Of course, obviously, that's totally fine.
Your contracts breaking them doesn't go that well.
Yes, no, apparently not. So we have to do this as well. Great, brilliant.
Okay, we got that sorted.
Yeah.
I've also been thinking about the name.
Oh!
We're working on it.
I just don't like it very much.
Neither do I, it's terrible.
I've come up with an alternative.
One alternative?
So, the London and Other London Outstanding Mercenary Group.
Is there an acronym?
Well, the acronym is LOLOMG, which I don't think is very good. And it doesn't really mean anything.
No, I can't think of any other organisations that have that acronym, so there'd be no copyright implications. And I can't think of any deeper cultural resonance that might have at all that might impinge upon us in any way. So I think that's an excellent and thoroughly original suggestion.
So let me just write that down in my notes. That's London and Other London
Outstanding Mercenary Group.
All right.
I like the fact...
Guys, I've had that in the barrel so long. Waiting for the perfect moment.
Either your 30 episodes.
Yeah. Oh, that feels good.
I was like, the king is dead. Now is my time.
Oh my gosh, we didn't think about the effect
of the
players.
And thus is... Lacent megalomania came forth.
I've got my bedroom at home is just covered of lists of potential names. It's like all of them crossed out.
It's like A Beautiful Mind, but for puns.
Yeah.
No, I quite like the idea that Hamid starts referring to himself in the third person as part of this power trip. Hamid is pleased with these developments. Hamid will now proceed.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. He's gonna
so what?
It'd be such a good evil. Really?
So what are your short-term and long-term goals now?
Well, I think if we... Wait, why am I responding in character to an out-of-character question?
Oh, why? He's transcended the damn game.
Can't get him now!
Bertie and Sasha look at each other as Hamid appears to be addressing the wall.
But not the first or the second or the third.
Yeah.
Let's get this podcast back on track, shall we?
Yeah.
I think we go back to the hotel Bertie has already moved into, stay there overnight, and sort out going up to the university level next morning.
You know what? That sounds like a great plan. And so it begins. You all head to the hotel, sleep, and everyone give me a will save.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Natural 20.
Okay.
18.
Okay.
19.
Okay.
So total 25.
Sasha, give me a fort save.
Ooh. One.
Oh dear, right, well, first things first, you all sleep well, and two out of three of you wake up well. The other one, Sasha, you wake up a little bit stiff-jointed, you go look at yourself in the mirror and have a decidedly grey pallor, and you find that your wounds have started weeping again. They're back, they're lingering, it's not great.
Yep.
You reckon you could probably get...
Is the bed properly has she lost enough blood to be...
You will have to change your undershirt, but I reckon that you can probably pass it off. Tell you what...
Just do a disguise check.
I was going to say, give me a disguise check if you want, and you can just see if you can pass yourself off as fine.
Disguise it. Ooh, that was a 9 plus.
Tries to pass herself off as a Turin shroud. Fails.
15.
That is enough to basically cover yourself against all normals who are looking at you. If the others want to actively check against it, but they have no reason to be suspicious, 15 is kind of your default. Yeah, I can pass. So
Bertie has very little interest in any woman's body.
Funnily enough, yeah. So, like, maybe you use a little bit of the makeup from the thing to improve your, like, colour, and then you change your undershirt and just dab at it, and it seems to pass it off for now. You don't feel particularly awful, just, like slightly hungover, something like that. So, you are all then, naturally, going to be attempting to head to the university, as far as I understand it.
Yeah, there are meritocratic offices on the university level.
There's a meritocratic office on the university level and a meritocratic office in the city.
Yeah.
The primary meritocratic office is actually in the city, not the university. It just has a branch in the university.
Yes.
Isn't there supposed to be a meritocrat in the university?
Oh, yes. I mean, knowledge local, everybody.
Well, I mean,
we know they're dead. Quiet, you.
14.
22.
Yeah, I'm not going to bother rolling.
You get a bonus because you've been to Prague before.
Yeah, but either, like, if it's super famous stuff, I know it.
Sure.
If not, I mean...
So, Hamid and Sasha are aware of it, and Sasha, you could probably get there easily. What in our world is, you know, Prague Castle, so you have the city, and then up on a hill, effectively overlooking the city, far side of the river, you have a large, large slope, and then an extremely large castle, palace thing at the top of it. Well... What is Prague Castle here is known as Bolla's Roost. And it is, nice. Yeah, it's still overlooking. It's slightly larger than our reality's version, but architecturally it's very similar. Bolla is known to sleep most of the time and tends to just stay with the horde and so on. So naturally the building might be smaller than you'd think for a dragon to comfortably move around in, but I'm sure it's fine.
I still really like that these are the kind of six beings or five beings who have saved humanity, but they still have to sleep on a big pile of gold because they are at heart a dragon.
Hey, I said horde. You assumed gold. Could be zombies. You don't know.
Mm-hmm. Could be just carrying them around like a palanquin. or just 1,000 zombies.
It could be books.
Be, yeah. Or it could be a hoarding. So just a big poster advertising.
Sleeping dragon here. Roll up, roll up. Look at the snoozy dragon.
Actually, you've got to let sleeping dragons lie.
Oy.
So it says, look at the awake dragon.
Now, interesting you talk about hoarding.
It's lying.
Bolla's Roost is overlooking the city. That's the primary headquarters, let's call it, of the meritocrats. But yeah, there is a branch in the university which would probably be able to sort all of your needs, given that they can magically communicate and so on, because not everything ran through Mr. Sealing. And you're in a city that's mostly run on magic, which is kind of its own thing. So what's the plan?
I think that we should go shopping separately. That we should all...
Well, the shops are much better on the upper level, where all the academics and students hang out.
Right, okay. I mean, yeah, just, I guess, so long as we can just do our shopping on our own and see, yeah.
Well, I mean, we could, if you want to do some shopping on your own, we could do shopping most of the day today and meet back here early evening.
So I don't want to delay the plans, but Sasha will want to get to the medic, like...
Okay, yeah, well, let's have a day where we can all do some... I'll try and liquidate the assets and divide them up as quickly as possible, and we can just get what we need. I know you were talking about getting some new boots or something, Bertie.
Excellent, yes, I have heard tell of winged boots that might allow me to soar through the skies like a falcon, swooping in and amongst the clouds, yes, soaring majestically over the horizon, not too close to the sun.
Have you been watching the Shopping Channel again?
I could if I wanted.
Which was usually some kind of canal covered in barges in this universe.
The Shopping Canal. They keep going out as Teddy Bear.
The Cuddly Toy!
It's a well-known brand of street theatre.
So I am presuming that you are all therefore intending to reconvene to then head up to the university later after you've got the money.
Early evening. So
we can meet for like dinner at that restaurant again. Well, maybe a different one since... they'll need new windows.
So, with that in mind, then, I am going to accelerate time insofar as you all peel off and deal with your various chores before heading up to the university.
Sasha goes to a healer.
Okay, Sasha wants to go to a healer. Hamid is...
So the first thing I'm going to do is sell everything we have and divide up the money so that everyone gets... So we've actually, to peek behind the curtain, we've worked all this
you know, admin stuff out ahead of time because it's really boring to listen to.
Yeah.
We spent 20 minutes Googling and looking through textbooks in order to find out what we wanted to purchase.
So did I. Turned out it was irrelevant.
Well, you know, these things happen. It's what happens when you immediately retire. I blame you.
That's fair enough. Flicking through the books and working out what we wanted, it was like being eight and going through the Argos catalog.
Yeah!
And Bertie, you have a small amount of time to kill, a few hours. What do you do?
Bertie's got to fence his pile of jewels because he's got still his Carthaginian jewels.
Okay, cool. In which case, then, I am going to bounce between you all very, very quickly. So!
So, along with selling and shopping, Hamid will also visit the meritocratic offices to make sure the contract is transferred and resolved to him.
That's absolutely fine. So, with that in mind, then, I'm going to start with you, Bertie. You are attempting to fence your goods, etc.
Yep.
Your Carthaginian jewels.
Carthaginian jewels.
Yes, quite. Not quite the family jewels, but close enough. Give me a perception check.
Your family's Carthaginian.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, 19 minus 1 is 18.
Oh,
what's happened? You've started rolling well on perception rolls. I don't want to live in this world anymore.
He's taken my power.
Well, first thing that you do is you start heading up to the areas that are down in the city on the off chance that you can, you know, shift those jewels actually with people who are going to deal with mundane items rather than magical, because they were just jewels. As you're doing so, you have a wander around, and there are some people who are interested, but no one's really willing to take a punt on it. Then you have one person who's just like, oi, 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 oi.
Is he just wandering around flashing jewels?
Oi, why
is he? He's going to sort of pawnbrokers and goldsmiths and that sort of thing.
Walking around going,
jewels. Jewels, jewels, I have jewels. Anybody? Jewels, jewels, jewels.
A man
for
named
sale.
Jules comes up and it's like, hello. No, not
no,
you, Jules.
Not you, Julian. Go away.
So this person is, they have a stall. It's fairly like humble, but it's there. She's going, oi, 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 oi.
And Bertie notices on that roll, presumably.
Yes, he does. Oi.
Oh, hello. Oi. This is a lovely, humble little stall you have here.
Hmm? Yeah. So you're looking to shift them, yeah?
I'm looking to sell these jewels for money. Hmm? So, more freely convertible currency.
You are addressing a gnome. A gnome that is short by gnomish standards. They have huge white hair. Massive white hair. They wear fingerless gloves, and they are wearing many, many layers. And they have a stall which just has the word magic items written across the top.
That's
and
it
has
nose,
a
it?
Series of like trinkets and other items dotted around on this fairly small stall. It's on the border of an upper market area, so yeah, it could be legit. But he's there and he's there. Listen, I can buy them off you. No problem.
But can Bertie do a sense motive check?
Yes, you can. That's a skill.
That is a skill. I think it's the first time Bertie's ever done it. He's at minus one. I feel that as he's talking to a gnome, there should be some sort of penalty because of Bertie's inherent prejudice. I'm just going to like RP like minus three on the roll or something. 15 minus one is 14, and let's say that Bertie's rolled an 11 there because he hates
he's
gnomes.
Just really racist.
He just thinks gnomes control all the world's banks. That's
oh god.
Which is ironic because he hangs out with someone who
does. Actually does control
it's
all the
also
world's banks.
Weird because there's actually a banking group called the Halflings of Zurich. So,
so nonetheless, you are he seems legit insofar as it's possible. Probably going to be a bit of a stretch, so maybe he might try and get you on the price, but yeah, could happen.
Very well. I have these jewels. Now, let me tell you about their origin story.
And let's accelerate time on that one.
This is 10 minutes later.
So, the gnome's looking at them, you know, brings out an eyeglass, has a look at it.
Now, if you look at that one very carefully through your fabulous little eyeglass there, you will see reflected within it my beautiful face. Now, I can't promise that will happen forever, because soon I'm going to leave.
If you just step back, I could actually, you know, see the jewel. That's fine. Okay, right. He reaches across to mechanical, what you'd recognise as basically a cash register. He's putting in all the numbers. He's laid out all of the gems in size order and cast order and has them all arranged by cut and so on. He's chung. He goes, all right, I can give you 6,000 pounds.
6,000 gold?
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, I'd probably give it in platinum, you know, 6,000 is quite hard to shift. Heavy.
Yes. 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 That
That seems perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, it does to me too. Right, okay, give me a second. Reaches under his stall, you hear a... pulls out what's actually like two small-ish bags, drops them down, and goes, that's 6,000 golds worth in platinum. You just keep that under your hat. Good hat like yours. He looks up and up again, because you're massive compared to him, yep. At your helmet. Yeah, go on. Seems fair to me.
Bertie checks, counts the gold, as mm-hmm. it would, which is perfectly reasonable.
You can bite it if you want.
Bertie bites the platinum.
It seems to be platinum.
Tastes platinum-y.
It does taste of platinum. Reminds me of truffles. Very well. Thank you, good sir. Bertie is surprised because he's either been tricked so well he doesn't realise, or he's just had a positive and honest interaction with a gnome, and he's not sure which unsettles him more.
Listen. all right, fair enough. You know what? It's not often that I'll get to fence this. I mean, yeah, I'm giving you 6. I'll be able to fence this for more. Tell you what, he reaches under his thing and chucks you a little ring, basically. Ooh. It's nondescript. It appears to have an emerald in it. Just goes, tell you what, have one of them. Dime a dozen. It's not a problem.
Very fancy. This is some sort of party favour.
Oh, it repels undead, that does.
Repels the undead?
Yeah, I mean, nothing high level, but it's worth having.
See, normally, if I wanted to repel the undead, I would just offend them in some way. But thank you. This will really take the effort out of it. You're really very kind.
You sure you're a gnome?
Yes. You sure you're not perhaps just a skinny dwarf or a quarterling? No?
I mean, I could take it back if you want.
No, it's fine. Thank you.
It's all right.
Good. Good. This is excellent. Well... thank you so much. Thank.
But he's not used to this.
Very well.
I mean, if I can get anything else for you. I do feel free to have a look. He's gesturing to the rest of his stall.
But he has a look at the items that are available.
Give me an appraise check. All right. Go on, give me a critical fail.
Go on. 13 plus 1 is 14.
Oh, that's not a critical fail. This looks like a set of fairly straightforward magical items. Like, if there's anything fairly banal that you need that's magical, you could get it from this guy probably for a really good price.
I mean, Bertie wants these fancy boots. How
He won't have them.
Okay,
fine. If you're looking at things like potions or some basic wands, things like that.
Sure.
Apart
from
that,
won't need Mr. Zolf anymore.
Yeah, I was about to say potions. Exactly. So Bertie can't. He knows full well that he's not going to be able to use wands properly.
Sure.
If there's one going on the cheap that looks a bit fancy, then.
Tell you what, I'm gonna skip past because we'll have to go through every single item in detail.
Yeah,
okay. So eventually he just goes, listen, I'll tell you what, I can get you a deal on this. It's a wand of cure light runes. It's only got 10 charges left, mate. I mean, honestly, like, normally people only want them when they've got full sets of charges. I'll give you this one, tell you what, 20 gold. Job done.
Done, 20 gold. Yes, this,
there you go, mate.
This also is... ooh, excellent. Do you have any gift horses around?
Gift horses. I'll tell you what, I've got a bag of holding.
Monsieur horse.
Got a bag of holding for you if you're interested.
Bag of holding.
Big on the inside and the outside.
That does sound useful. How much?
Well, I mean, the catch with this one is, like, you know, sometimes it'll like spit the items back out. So, I mean, I'll give you a cutthroat rate. Call it 100 gold, yeah?
That seems very fair. Excellent. Okay, a partially effective bag of holding. I see. Now, Bertie's suspicious. Bertie's suspicious of this man because he's racist. he hates gnomes.
Yeah, but this is the problem is, when you're that racist and you have basic level of suspicion, when something legitimately suspicious, it's not blinking above his, it's a gnome radar.
Yeah, yeah. Fine. Very well. Thank you very much. Should Bertie sense motive again at this stage?
You can try one last time.
One last time, okay. Oh, 9 minus 1 is 8.
And you instilled, against my even input, minus 3 because it's a gnome. So
it's 5.
What this guy is a fool.
Yeah! What a chump. I should probably not say that out loud. But I said that out loud as well. How deep does this rabbit hole go?
The gnome briefly hesitates before going, me no speaky the English that good. You're still my friend. And apparently
That's fine.
That's
for
fine.
Yeah.
That's good.
Doesn't get it.
Well, this just continues down the rabbit hole. Why don't we just take a break and then be back in a couple of minutes?
Hi, everyone. Alex here with a quick message. We've been running ads during Rusty Quill Gaming for a while now. We always wanted this podcast to be free to listen to, so that means that we've needed to run adverts in order to provide the income we need to keep the lights on at Rusty Towers. Now, As part of this process, we need to provide some information about what kind of listeners we have so that we can get better adverts to pay us more money and allow us to make even more free content. Now that's where you come in. If you head on over to rustyquill.com or follow the direct link in the show notes, you'll find a short questionnaire to fill in. All information you provide is anonymous and you don't need to answer anything you don't want to. It's super easy and takes less than 5 minutes, but we would hugely appreciate it if you could take the time to fill it in. It's a great way to show us your support without spending any money, and it will genuinely help us to make more content available in the future. So thanks in advance from me and everyone else at Rusty Towers. And now, let's get back to the farce. Sure.
And welcome back. So with Bertie continuing to...
This is the Survivalist Network. I told you it was coming. London is now in the full throes of a zombie outbreak. If you do not have an impregnable vehicle, you can still access a Toyota Hilux Invincible. Pre-contagion, it was £199 per month with 0% APR representative. For the good of future generations, friends at your local Toyota Hilux Centre are maintaining that deal. Heed, hurry, haul. You'll be fine.
0% APR representative on new sales of Hilux Invincible over 42 months. £199 per month. Customer deposit of £9,701 when financed through Access Toyota by 16th of December 2019. £12,525 optional final payment. Subject to status to over 18s. Indemnities may be required. Conditions apply. Toyota Financial Services.
Oh, now, I've only had one chocomocha latte all week. I bought my own sandwiches to work. Ham. I didn't buy that game I fancied, Ultra Death Ninja. I've even cut down on razors and grown a beard. I really have earned this. Haven't I? Yes!
Go on, treat yourself to an O2 Black Friday deal. Like the amazing Samsung Galaxy S10 now slashed in price from £791 to £491. You know you deserve it. Search O2 Black Friday.
It's 4th of December 2019. O2 Refresh Credit by Telefonica UK Limited. Eligibility and terms apply.
To clearly rob this foolish gnome, we're going to skip to Sasha. So, Sasha, you head to a healer's.
Awkwardly in the waiting room?
Yes. Rather than RP it, because there'll be a few people to get through, to describe the building itself, it is, again, large, but it's still in the kind of manner that the rest of Prague is, which is, it's quite no-nonsense, because it's down here, and that's become the style of the buildings. It is... You appreciate it in that it's very, very functional, and to your practiced eye, it's a very tactical building insofar as there is one main entrance in, there is one main entrance out. Whilst there is a reception desk, in inverted commas, it's about chest high, and it has...
Chest high walls.
Yep, it has a chest high wall that immediately faces the one entrance, and there are two other helpful reception desks on either side of the main entrance, also about chest high, but for... chest high for different races, and have different races behind them. Presumably, it's of course just to make life easier for smaller races. And having a look around, you notice that the windows are barred, probably for security. Long story short, this is starting to feel a bit more like an urban fortress than a temple. It doesn't seem like it's populated by anyone suspicious. Like, I'm skipping ahead a few stages. Everyone seems on the level. It's just, it's not quite the ridiculousness of the Apollo lot, or the kind of severity, I suppose, of the Poseidon lot. But long story short, you get shown in to get healed, and give me a perception check.
17 plus 9, 26.
So you are waiting outside of a room where someone has basically made some time to help heal you up, and you are aware that you are sort of able to hear what's going on in the room on the other side of the door. Do you listen?
Well, yes.
Don't be so stupid.
I was waiting for the question. Yes.
Right. Give me a perception check.
25.
So, Sasha.
Yep.
You are able to hear what's going on.
Yep.
And what you hear is the following. Right. Grizzup, report.
Right, okay. So, went up to university.
Yep.
Kind of looking after the, looking for the rogue magician. And it turns out that he's one of the board members. So it's going right to the top.
Well, that wasn't priced in, was it?
No, it wasn't at all. So I've got a name.
Right.
Well, all right, so I was chatting to them. They spun me a load, but apparently part of the board. So I went around, did some digging. Turns out it's a guy called Franz Kafka.
Kafka?
Yeah.
Isn't he high up there?
Oh, he's on the board, I see.
Yeah, okay.
So, right, well, I've got him to go back, but I need to go back, right? Because, you know, the board were obviously telling me a bunch of lies. So I need to go back, check that what they were doing. I assume protecting their owner or something like that. But ultimately,
Sasha, you hear a noise that you are not able to really discern what it is. It sounds like a, but not a human noise. Maybe an animal of some kind, but it sounds quite big, whatever it is. Yeah, at which point the woman goes, right, that's fair enough. Thank you for the report. You know, time's of the essence on this one. Are you able to cover this one on your own, Grizzle?
Yeah, I'll get right on it.
It's quite a big job, Grizzle. This is kind of getting a bit bigger than we originally thought. You sure you can handle this one?
Well, no, as long as they do as much as they're paying us for. If I need help, it's a big room full of magic. So, you know, I'll probably rustle up something.
All right, well, just keep me posted, all right? And, Try and hurry things along a bit. We're on a bit of a schedule.
Yeah, right.
Shouldn't be a problem for you, though.
Yeah, no, right on it, yeah. Let's go.
At which point, the door immediately bursts open and... Describe the person that comes out, Ben.
Right, okay. So, it is a little goblin, around about 3'4".
No!
Still taller than me.
You're going to have some serious... shrinking issues if any smaller characters come in.
Yeah. Maybe.
So his skin is sort of an ashen grey. Got long pointed ears that stick almost horizontally off the back of his head. Completely bald. Gigantic sort of pure red eyes. So like a dog's, you can't see the what's outside the iris, whatever they call it, the whites of the eyes. There are no whites.
I want to say corona. It's not.
No, it's
but...
not. I thought that as well.
Sclera is the white bit.
Yeah, sclera, yes. And a huge mouth, sort of almost from ear to ear, splitting the bottom of the head.
Far too big for his head.
Yeah, with, as he's kind of like, you know, got his mouth a bit open, rows and rows of very sharp teeth. So pretty bad looking.
Bring your head out.
Across his back he has a longbow, goblin-sized longbow.
So a short bow.
A short bow. But a very nice one, and a long sword, and he's wearing a buckler across his arm with a symbol on it, which is a crescent moon kind of pointed downwards, and three arrows crossed through it, which is a symbol that's kind of around and about.
It's not a massive leap to assume that's the Artemis symbol.
Yeah. Bertie would know that that's the symbol of Artemis.
Yes, he would.
Artemis,
but he's too busy conning a gnome.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, what a fool.
Sasha would have seen that symbol on the way into the temple, on all of the staff at the temple, and she may have begun to put two and three arrows together.
So he's wearing a breastplate with that symbol on it as well, and then sort of simply...
The clues continue.
Yeah. And he's got a sign that says, "Here be Artemis," and it points.
No, he's wearing a dressing gown which says "I heart Artemis." No, but he is wearing sort of practical boots, trousers, almost sort of combat gear, but for this era appropriate, and a sort of half robe. It does almost look like a dressing gown. That's
kimono.
In various sort of camo pattern.
I would say to your practice eye, just to chip in, unlike the Apollo lot, which had completely impractical stuff, and the Poseidon lot, which kind of often either looked like they'd thrown something together themselves or like a ridiculously glorified, like, dress.
The Etsy of...
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Everyone's own little independent creator.
This is...
High risk, high reward.
They're up for the new mermaid trend. So all of these old wizards with their white hair
lots
have dyed over
stones.
Blue-green tones. Oh, and they're all wearing kind of, like, glittery...
Whereas everything that you have seen to do with the Artemis lot is... practical in a way that you can appreciate.
Yeah.
There is nothing here that is a waste of time. There is nothing here that does not have a practical and often very clever use.
Nice. These sound like good people to get healed by.
Give me a reflex save.
16.
You are not bowled over as this creature leaves at immense speed. Running down the corridor.
Immense speed?
Well...
How fast compared... Are you actually as fast as me?
Yes, so...
No, you're not.
Oh, are you not? Oh, no, but you've got magical nerves.
Yeah.
he is as fast as a fully grown human, but he is only 3'4".
So for his size, his legs are like...
Yeah, so he's not super quick, but he is super
quick. Oh, my gosh!
Quick. And I thought... Do you know legs?
I thought Groot was cute last night. Gosh.
That is when we're recording this episode, for those of you in the future.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 has just come out and only little seen it.
Oh, and today is International Tabletop Day, guys!
Yes. Well
done!
Happy International Tabletop Day. When's International Men's Tabletop Day?
Thank you.
Heading inside, door opens, you get called in, I should point out. And heading in, it has a certain almost rustic vibe, given that you're in an urban centre. There's a lot of wood panelling. There's a hammock at one end. There is a very, very large desk at a back wall, behind which a woman is sat.
It's a chest high desk.
It's not a chest high desk, but you could probably take cover behind it in an emergency. Yeah. She's lounging with her boots up on the desk and is currently sharpening a dagger. There are bows and daggers all over the...
This doesn't sound like a very professional healing environment.
Bear with it. All over the
There's
desk.
A bear with it.
And in the corner...
That has to stay in the actual podcast.
I wasn't going to stop it, but now I've got to edit around you saying that.
It's just everything's in the bloopers now.
Well, it's also because he's jumped the gun. In the corner is a fully grown leopard.
That makes it better.
He's just... It's just...
Is launched. It? Is it? A quantum leopard?
No.
I haven't paid
no, it is not. It's a blink leopard. No. It's a leopard. It's larger than you would think an average leopard is, but not mechanically large. It's just a large leopard. It has a paw sort of...
A little extra.
A little extra. A little bonus. A bit chunky around the haunches. But it's lingering up on a rafter and it's just sort of examining
you. It's got curves
you.
And it likes them.
Yeah.
It's examining you and gives another... bearing massive teeth. And the woman just goes, oh, yeah, come in. No worries. Yeah, sit down. Let's have a look at you. Finishes. Sharpening the knife, puts it in her sheath.
Quite a sassy, vivacious leopard character we've got all of a sudden.
Yeah. Sasha has not really been to professional healers before, so this could be what they're all like. She has her suspicions.
She closes the door, up on the bench.
Yeah. Sasha takes her jacket off and... Right,
stay still. She spits on her hand, puts them together, rubs them, puts them on your back as quick as she can.
No, look, so I've got to ask, right? Because I know you can heal it. Healing it, people are doing... It's just it unheals every day, right?
All right, well, let me give it a go and see what happens. Spits on the hands again. Basically casts a healing spell, which immediately seems to take effect. That hungover feeling that you have wears off, and she looks at it and goes, looks solid to me.
So the problem, I guess, here with magical healing is that no one actually has any clinical knowledge.
Correct. Yeah. There are no studies to refer to.
My heal score of 3.
The thing is, I don't know how I got it, right? Like, I didn't do anything that seemed to, like, get this, but it's there and it burns in the morning, and I just, if I could just talk to someone about it, would be good.
As you're talking, she nonchalantly goes back, sits on the chair, boots up on the table, then starts having a look at you. The leopard jumps down from the rafter and sort of walks past you, gives you a sniff, recoils a bit, and then goes and sits by her. So, listen, a recurring magical disease, that's not going to be something that just turns up.
Yeah, well...
Come on.
So, it's
Look, you can
long...
tell me or you can leave. I don't really mind.
It's a very long story.
Let's...
63 hours later.
I'm going to use that opportunity to cut to Hamid.
So Hamid has lived in Prague. He
yep.
lived in Prague for about 3 months,
yep.
about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows... where to go. He is going to go round and sell stuff, and he basically knows where to go. He's not going to push hard for good prices, but his diplomacy score means he generally gets what things are worth.
Give me a perception check.
18.
18?
Assuming that's a 9 or a 6. Yes, it is a 9.
So, we have obviously already gone over all of the maths and so mm-hmm. on, so that we know what prices you're getting for everything, and you managed to sell some stuff. What you do see, though, is as you're going past the Opera House, there is a massive... hoarding of your sister.
Oh my god!
She's there and she is she's not like the like big face on it, but she is part of a very large advert for an opera which is currently taking place at the Opera House. And you see her there. She's definitely more prestigious than she was last time you checked in. And it is running for the next week every evening as a sort of special European tour.
I'm going to walk straight in.
Walk straight in?
To the box and go to the box office.
This is in Czech, obviously. Hello, how can I help you today?
Hello, are there any tickets left? Can I get 4 tickets to a performance?
Which
3?
No. Hamid has forgotten that Zolf has gone.
Oh! certainly. Which day are you looking at?
Oh, any that I want really good tickets. The front of the stalls, if at all possible.
Oh, that's not going to be today. It's been sold out. They've actually.
No, of course. If it's a
they've
few
got
days
a new soprano
now.
And she's kind of hitting it quite hard. I'll tell you what. Tomorrow evening we've got 4.
Oh yeah, that'd be brilliant.
It's quite expensive.
Oh, that's not a problem.
Okay, fair enough. That'll be 100 gold for the 4.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome, sir. Well, have a good
day. I wander back out with a smart big smile on my face.
Yep, yep. So. You were selling the stuff, you have successfully done so, you got yourself 4 opera tickets. Oh. And then you were heading to the meritocratic office to fill in the requisite paperwork.
So first you go to the bank.
Yep.
And make the requisite deposits in the 4 individual accounts of the 4 party members.
Bit of an issue. So there's quite a queue at the bank.
Oh yeah, nothing works.
Oh yeah, we broke it.
Quite a queue at the bank. They're loudly declaring to a crowd that are queuing. We are able to take deposits at this time. Transfers between accounts and transfers internationally are not being held at this time. We are able to use the bank vaults, but you will only be able to store money locally. We apologise for the inconvenience and we're sure it will be dealt with momentarily.
I'm going to deposit Zolf's share so that when the banking system is back up and running, he has access.
They're fine to
but
do
I'll
that.
Take the rest in cash to give to the other 2.
Okay, that's all fine and dealt with. And last but not least, anything else you want to be doing?
The meritocratic office.
Yes, right. That one takes you a while to get to. Again, for people who know like actual layout of Prague, is if you're in the old town, say, of Prague on one side, it's a decent walk to get to the other end. There are transports and things that can speed it up, but nonetheless, it's a pleasant enough day and you're not in a rush. You make it up the winding stairs, and you start seeing these very epic depictions of Bolasnok, always brooding. It's never like an action shot. It's always watching, surveying, and sort of in the shadows and looming, etc. If you hadn't known that Bolasnok was working for the powers of good, you'd almost get an evil vibe. It's very Batman-y, I suppose.
Like Grand Vizier.
Yeah, it has a certain Grand Vizier vibe. But you head up to the top, and again, there's some minor queuing and so on, but your paperwork from Wild gets you straight through very, very quickly. And you're dealing with a clerk who isn't particularly high up, but can do pretty much any admin that you need them to, because you just have... It's like going to Disneyland, you've just gone, fast track!
I'm going to explain that Zolf has asked to be released from the contract and that I'll be taking it on as the leader of a new mercenary company named London and Other London Outstanding Mercenary Group.
They ask if it's okay to use the acronym LOL on, just because the way they're transmitting messages at the moment will help shorten it.
Yeah, not a problem.
Okay, cool.
It's absolutely meaningless, isn't it?
It sounds
stupid, but it's just a more efficient way of messaging. Yeah.
So I'll get the paperwork drawn up with my name on it. I'll explain that there's 2 other people in the mercenary company, but we're going to look for another one and make sure that is pre-approved.
Yep. Basically all the requisite stuff.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely fine.
Boring admin.
Admittedly,
the next financial year.
At which point the clerk lets you know just how many budgetary expenses you can offset to your tax thanks to Zolf's absence. Anyway, we'll go ahead.
Do the advantages of his absence never end?
Anywho, I'm going to skip back to Sasha. We will skip ahead time for all of you insofar as Bertie, you have taken a long time because whilst you're trying to appear discerning, there's a lot of items to get through with the money that you're dealing with the person. The admin at Hamid's end is taking, obviously, a long time, so a lot of it.
When Bertie is trying to look discerning, it mostly involves him looking at a thing and just going off to a special place in his head and just still looking at it just for a lot longer.
just forgets to operate his face in that time.
And Sasha, you have managed to broadly explain how you got your injuries, but I'll let you decide how much you reveal.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say, well, I fell and then I got squashed. So that's why there's a falcon. that requires quite... So that's why I've got...
I quite like it. It's quite stylish.
Yeah, when it's not bleeding.
I mean, we do a lot of scarification here, actually. If you want to get it done properly, they can touch that up for you.
Would it stop bleeding every day?
I mean, looks good to me.
It's bleeding every day.
Well, I mean, scarification can take a while. I mean, when... Yeah, it's been too long. All right, okay.
Keeps bleeding every day. every day.
All
right. Like, not just for short periods, bleeding every day. That's a problem for me, because I have quite an active career.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
Yeah. So there's also a brief period in which I was resuscitated after another active incident in my career, which meant that there was a lot of healing work done, which has left some other scarring. Does the autopsy scar, does that also bleed? Yep. So
like, yes, it does.
So also a bit, like it was quite significant surgical, it was a very active career.
I wouldn't fret, like three people on this corridor have already died and come back. Like this isn't...
Yeah,
I feel like you might be making a mountain out of a molehill here.
Every day is quite a problem.
It's like... I want to say Clive the Paladin.
We've had Dave,
Cannon.
We've had Steve.
Cannon,
Clive the Paladin.
Clive down the corridor. He's got no hand, but you heal it and get on with it.
Okay, but like when I am on a assignment in my active career, sometimes it is difficult to access certain kinds of services, and if I am slowed down, that can hinder the carrying out of my career.
She's slowly glazing over. For professional decorum, she's still like making eye contact with you. Little leopards are starting to dance around her daydreams.
I really need to not be getting weaker every day.
Right, look. Comes forward. Okay. Clearly you've got
also
some...
Also, why?
Clearly you've got some kind of magical disease, but if you're not going to tell me how you got it properly, then there's only so much
guessing
I can
do. I got killed and I got brought back.
Right, thank you. Something I can work with. Okay.
I just said I got resuscitated.
I don't know what that means.
You're a healer.
I mean, I know. Do you mean resurrection?
I don't really know.
Right, look. It sounds to me like you've probably got a botched resurrection, and I got good news and I got bad news for
right.
you, okay? Good news of a botched resurrection is stick with a healer nearby and you seem basically manageable. Like, longer term, you're probably going to have to find a specialist, and I'm going to be honest, like, Artemis, we're doers. Like, we get stuff done, whereas you're kind of going to want to hang around with, like, the Aphrodite lot. They go mad for this kind of thing.
Right. They're fiddling around with details a lot.
Honestly, they mostly just like talking.
That... I mean, right, but okay, right.
Look, if you lose an arm, you lose a leg, come here, we're going to be helping you out. I'm going to be honest, it sounds like you're going to need a specialist. Have you gone to the university yet?
No, that's on the to-do list.
Look, hit up the university. They're
right.
probably going to have some more info on this. I'm basically a medic. Like,
right,
you're
yeah,
a frontline
okay,
medicine
yeah,
here.
No, that's
I mean, just... Can, fine. Can, try walking it off?
Yeah, on my back. And yeah.
Roll it off.
Yeah, roll it off. Roll off the fact that she's bleeding. From
I mean, Clive down the
skin.
Corridor, he's got no feet, but he still managed to walk it off, so...
Yeah, I mean, to be
well,
fair.
What happened to Clive?
Lost his feet.
Yeah.
And died.
Keep up.
Terrible combine harvester accident.
That's what I have to say. Her bedside manner is almost as good as Zolf's.
Yeah. I've got some experience working with people with missing limbs, and I know that they cannot be very productive members of a team.
Well, there we go then.
But
what you do is you have an owie on your back.
Yeah, and my front and down my face and.
You look fine to me.
Right. Okay. Just
look. Go to the university. If it's something that's bugging you that much, go to the university and ask to talk to them. They love this kind of thing.
All right.
Inexplicable thing. You're probably going to have someone write a thesis on you in a couple of days.
Okay, right. That sounds great. Thank you very much for your help and comfort.
Yeah, not a problem. Anytime you want to come in. For what it's worth, she genuinely seems to just take that at face value. Yeah, cool. I mean, honestly, it's probably not going to slow you down. It'd be fine.
Yeah, that's... Fine. Right. Cool. Great.
Got Have a good
just,
one.
Just big, bleedy falcon on my back.
She's already not listening and is proceeding to carry on sharpening her blade and kind of daydreaming, presumably
You're
about leopards again.
Over-sharpening that blade.
She kind of looks at it critically and, yeah, I am doing this more as a kind of get out of my office thing. Like an actual sharpening thing.
Yeah. Right. Well, cheers.
I am going to accelerate time at this point. For the sake of my sanity, we will say that you did prearrange a place to all meet up and to then make your way to the university. We will say it is mid-afternoon at this point, and you will make your way to a...
I hand out the funds to everyone.
It is a central square in Prague. It has a what looks like it should be a large fountain in the middle, but instead of having a spire in the middle, it just seems to be a bowl, a large bowl around it. And Sasha, give me a perception check.
Only 17.
That's fine. There is a queue of people. As you are approaching, you see there's a group of 10 people in the circle, all holding hands, and then they're gone. It looks like a mage was off to the side. They check a register and then start prepping again, laying incense around the outside and so on. There are about another 5 people in the queue, one of which is the goblin that you saw earlier at Artemis, who appears to be positively vibrating with impatience. This clearly is like a slow queue, and a bunch of the other people seem, you know, a little bit miffed. He looks... Yeah, he's... Come on. You also see Bertie and Hamid all approaching from the 4 cardinal corners of the square. The timing is exceptional, and it's because I really, really just want to get you guys together again, because splitting the party is driving me crazy.
Let's get in this queue. None of us did anything particularly interesting today, did we? No? Okay, let's keep them.
Here's the money, the share.
Yay, money!
I'll just talk to the person organising it. We might be able to get up without paying. I'm not sure. I'm going to try my luck. Because the international methods of communication and administrative tracking are not currently working, mm-hmm. I'm going to claim that I'm still an associate student member of the Prague University.
Whoa.
Ballsy.
Because
we've
I was...
We've all overused our student...
It's true. Give it a roll. Memberships. Give it a diplomacy roll.
Because they may not know that I've been kicked out of Cambridge.
Give me a roll.
21.
21. He does not care. You just go, oh, hi, yeah, I'm with this college. Okay. Like, could not care. It is
awesome.
The end of their shift. They have been on for the last 10 hours, and all anyone does is complain that teleportation is not fast enough. He went to university, and he did a master's in this. He's muttering all of this, of course, under his breath whilst he modifies all of the forms. And then when he notices you're still there, just goes, the queue is there.
This is the most clearly identifiable weird character in the whole series.
Please, just get in the queue.
I join the queue with my 2 guests.
Okay. So, you all step into the circle, the mage is guiding you and giving it off by rote in the most bored drawl you can. So you stay inside the circle, hold hands with the person next to you. No, don't be squeamish, we're all sentient beings together. Now, when you enter into the circle, do not step outside the circle during the casting. It goes on and on.
Student summer jobs in flight safety.
It's basically the exits are everywhere if you step outside the circle and plummet to your death. It's going on and on and on. Long story short, he just goes, right, is everyone ready? Okay, 3, 2. At that point, there is a scream from right near the square. It sounds like a scream of terror, of revulsion, of absolute panic, at which point, 1, and you are teleported up. So yeah, on that note, I think we'll call the end there. So yeah, I'm sure everything's fine. I'm sure everything is fine. And it was a scream of glee that the...
A party has arrived!
Yeah, a party has arrived!
Oh my!
Oh goodness me, it's a surprise party.
A spontaneous scream party, how delightful!
Kissogram!
Yeah, that'll be it. That'll be fine.
Yep.
Tell you what then, why don't we hang it up there and then everyone can find out next episode what it actually was, presumably the party.
I didn't even tell you guys about the opera tickets yet!
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening. Cool.
Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
I almost said Bryn Meredith.
Bryn Meredith and I play
Sea Friday!
We have finally fused into a single person.
In the worst of the Voyager episodes.
It's creative differences.
Something to say, and I quite like you saying that Bertie has to be in aiming out, not out aiming in.
Better the devil you know.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Quoting the late, great John Major. He's not dead at the time of recording, but hold that hope. Actually, in terms of former Conservative Prime Ministers,
he's pretty inoffensive.
He is the best living one. Carry on.
As continues the list of jokes that might make it to blooper and no further than that.
Fair enough.
Only because they're so niche, because we have an international listenership.
We're not the civil service, we're not in Purdah. Like, I can comment on this sort of stuff.
I don't know what Purdah is.
Look, it's an even more niche joke, which is absolute gold.
I love it.
Thank you.